Good morning. How is everybody? How do you say that? Whoops. How are you? Thank you, Gary. So Pastor last week asked me to preach. Of course I said no. And not because it was no. He was supposed to talk about when God says no. I'm like, no. And then I was like, well, yeah, I probably could do that. But he said, no, I'll take care of it. I said, okay, you do it this week and I'll do it next. What was I thinking? So I'm going to try to relay the message when God says no. How many of us have heard God say no in our lives? How many times have we said no to God in our lives? There you go. What happens when we ask for something and the prayer either is unanswered or he says no? Does he say no because he doesn't want us to prosper? He doesn't want us to move forward in our lives? Or does he just say no because he wants to protect us? Or he has better for us? Or because we live in a microwave world, we want it now, and he knows that we're not ready? I was looking on the internet about when God says no, and then I had there was an article in there, reasons for unanswered prayers. Well, I was laughing because the first one on this list is sin in our lives. We all sin. But guess what? God has given us grace. We need to confess our sins and repent. You don't have to go to pastor and repent, ask for forgiveness, unless you've offended him or you know that you've offended him. Just go to God. We have that connection. The second one is to say yes would bring harm that we don't foresee. A woman tells a story of being away from her kids for a summer and was quite anxious to get back to them. When she learned that all the rooms on a certain steamer were taken, she wept bitterly because she couldn't get back to her children. So she had to stay in New York for a couple extra 2 weeks. But because of the delay, she learned the vessel that she was denied passage on was buried in the Atlantic. She didn't see the no as a wonderful answer to prayer until the whole story was unfolded. The third one was, God has something far greater in store for us. Amen. In John 11, 12 through 27, it's the story of Lazarus being raised from the dead. It talks about where Lazarus tells the disciples that they're going to visit Lazarus because he's sick. The disciples are like, well, he'll get better. Jesus says, no, he's dead. And because he's dead, I'm going to show you bigger things. I'm going to show you by raising him from the dead. But as he goes, he runs into Martha and Mary. And Martha's like, if you had been here, Lazarus wouldn't be dead. Right? They believed that if Jesus was there, Lazarus wouldn't have died. But even I know that God will give you whatever you ask, Jesus told her. Your brother will rise again. Yes, Mary said, or Martha said, he will rise when everyone else rises at the last day. Jesus told her, I am the resurrection and the life. Anyone who believes in me will live, even after dying. Everyone who lives in me and believes in me will never die. Do you believe this, Martha? Yes, Lord, she told him. I have always believed you are the Messiah, the Son of God, the one who comes into the world from God. Martha believed, but she didn't really understand either that Jesus was going to raise Lazarus from the dead on that day. He'd been dead 4 days. Back then, they stunk. Yep. So they put him in a tomb, and hopefully you've never opened that tomb again. Mary and Martha wanted Jesus to heal Lazarus, but he had resurrection in mind. We ask for wealth, but often sickness and suffering or something less than wealth is the best way to produce holiness and maturity in us. Sometimes we ask for things that God doesn't want to give us because he knows we're not ready. 4, we pray at cross purposes with other believers. This is a perfect example for me because there's two people that want the same job. I'm more equipped than you are. That was what I said 10, 14 years ago? I'm more equipped for this job. When do I start? Well, guess what? I didn't get the job. And boy, was I angry. And most of you know the story that brought me to this church. Karina drugged me in those doors, kicking and screaming, that nobody saw except her. And I haven't left. God has to say no to one person so he can say yes to another. That job wasn't the job for me, but I wanted it, and I wanted it then. I did, and I was mad because I was more qualified because I had done the job, but the person they brought in had more education than I did. So years later, I went back to school to get a degree so that I could be educated and know the job. We pray for things where yes is impossible. I was listening to a book this week, and in the book, the little girl had seen a murder, and her family was Christian. It was interesting because the book was, there was pulses in the world, and everything went dead. There was no electricity, there was no phones, there was no computers, there was not even anything to do x-rays, there was nothing, there was no light, there was no water. They had to go to the rivers and get water. And this girl had seen a murder, and she knew that this guy was after her, so she had beautiful long curly hair, and she cut it all off. Well, he found her, and he beat her head against a tree, and she was in the hospital for 17 days. And the dad had went from a stockbroker to a minister. He was ministering to people. And he prayed, and his wife prayed, and the whole family prayed. And the point that I was sobbing at work was the mother was in the closet, in the utility closet, where they kept all the stuff to clean with, face down, praying, God, save my daughter. I believe. You know I believe. I've been doing all this stuff. Please save my daughter. And of course, she dies. Because her days, every one of us, their days are numbered. Our days are numbered. Her day was numbered. She heard in that closet, not thy will, but my will be done. There's a story in here about the yes being impossible. A carpenter was building some crates for clothes his church was sending to the orphanage in China. On his way home, he reached into his pocket to find his glasses, but they were gone. He remembered putting them there this morning, so he drove back to the church. His search proved fruitless. When he mentally replayed his early actions, he realized what happened. The glasses had slipped from his pocket unnoticed and fallen into one of the crates, which he nailed shut. His brand new glasses were headed to China. The Great Depression was at its height, and this man had six children. He had spent $20 on those glasses that very morning. It was not fair, he told God as he drove home in frustration. I have been faithful in giving of my time, my money for your work, and now this. Several months later, the director of the orphanage was on furlough in the United States. He wanted to visit all the churches that supported him in China. So he came to speak one Sunday night at this small church in Chicago. The carpenter and his family sat in their customary seats among the sparse congregation. The missionary began by thanking the people for their faithfulness in supporting the orphanage. But most of all, he said, I must thank you for those glasses that you sent last year. You see, the communists had swept through the orphanage, destroying everything, including my glasses. I was desperate. Even if I had money, there was no simple way of replacing those glasses. Along with not being able to see, I experienced headaches every day. So my coworkers and I were much in prayer about this. Then your crate arrived. When my staff removed the covers, they found a pair of glasses lying on top. The missionary paused long enough to let his words sink in. Then, still gripped with wonder of it all, he continued, Folks, when I tried on the glasses, it was as though they had been custom made for me. I thank you for being a part of that. The people listened happy for the miraculous glasses, but the missionary surely must not have been confused their church with another, they thought. There were no glasses on the list of items to be sent overseas, but quietly in the back with tears streaming down his face, an ordinary carpenter realized the master carpenter used him in an extraordinary way. God is in control. We pray for things that are already determined. When we have children, the boy or girl that we're going to have. 7, we get discouraged in prayer by thinking God has said no, when in fact he has not said nothing at all. Amen. Wait is the answer. Delay is not denial. God often delays his answer to cultivate patience, persistence, and develop and build our faith, or bring us around to conform to his will and not our own. God's no is not rejection. Let that sink in for a minute. God's no is not rejection. It's redirection. Close a door, open a window. No. God's no to one thing is yes to another. In 2 Samuel, King David wants to build the temple, and the prophet Nathan tells him, okay, God will let you. Well, God comes to Nathan in a dream and tells him, no, David doesn't need to build a temple. How many of us have been asking God for things all the time? I want a new companion. I want. But are we asking for the right things? Or is God not saying no, but he's saying there's something else you need to do first? God's no isn't punishment, it's preparation. Romans 5, 2 through 5 says, because of our faith, Christ has brought us into this place of undeserving privilege where we now stand, and we confidently and joyfully look forward to sharing God's glory. We can rejoice, too, when we run into problems and trials, for we know that they help us develop endurance, and endurance develops strength of character, and character strength of confident hope of salvation. And this hope will not lead to disappointment, for we know how dearly God loves us, because he has given us the Holy Spirit to fill our hearts with his love. Amen. Patience, perseverance, character. What is our character like? If I don't get that, am I going to complain? Oh, yes. Unfortunately, my mouth goes like this. And then I have to stop and step back and go, okay, God, I know that you have bigger and better for me. When I wanted that job, what did my mouth do, Karina? It went constantly, negatively. That's what made us walk into this church. She's like, you need something more. God is preparing us to be his son's bride. We will reign with him. We must be made into the bride worthy of our position. He develops perseverance, character, and hope as we trust him in prayer. Prayer and spiritual warfare is his means of preparing us for bridehood. So we have to pray, and we know that there's going to be a battle, because we know that Satan is the god of this world, God or Jesus. We are here to be prepared to go back to Jesus. We are saved. Everybody that said yes to Jesus is saved. Thank you, Jesus. But thank you for grace and mercy. Amen. Thank you for loving us right where we're at, like Jody said earlier, because we're human and we make mistakes and we open our mouths and they go. And then even when God's saying, shut up. I still have to do this some days because I'm like, why did that come out of my mouth? Why do people need to know the crap? They should know the joy. Because I've walked through this stuff, not sat in it and stayed there. Number 10 says, God's no will sometimes bring greater joy, greater glory to God. Jesus died on the cross. What did he pray in the Garden of Gethsemane? Take this cup from me. God said no. Why did God say no? God said no because he wanted to save all of us. Jesus said yes to save all of us. God said no to Jesus so he could save all of us. 11, God's no opens a door to an adventure with God. Woo-hoo. The story of Elijah. Think about the great adventure. 1 Kings 19:3 through 7 says, Elijah was afraid and he fled for his life. He went to Beersheba, a town in Judea, and he left his servant there. Then he went on alone to the wilderness, traveling all day. He sat down in a solitary broom tree and prayed that he might die. I have had enough, Lord, he said. Take my life. I am no better than my ancestors who have already died. Then he lay down and slept under the broom tree. But while he was sleeping, an angel touched him and told him, get up and eat. He looked around, and there beside his head was some bread baked on a hot stone and a jar of water. So he ate and drank and lay down again. Then the angel of the Lord again touched him and said, get up and eat more, or the journey ahead will be too much for you. God was preparing him. Elisha wanted Elijah's mantle. He wanted his mantle. He knew Elijah had been walking with God and doing the things that God wanted him to do. This says, he prayed that he might die. I have had enough, Lord, he said. Take my life. I am no better than my ancestors. God said no, because he had an adventure planned for Elijah. Amen. And then Elisha walked along with Elijah in 2 Kings 2, 11 through 15. As they were walking along, talking, suddenly a chariot of fire appeared, drawn by horses of fire. It drove between the two men, separating them. Elijah was carried by a whirlwind into heaven. Elisha saw it and cried out, my father, my father, I see the chariots and the charioteer of Israel. And as they disappeared from sight, Elisha tore his clothes in distress. Elisha picked up Elijah's cloak, which had fallen when he was taken up. Then Elisha returned to the bank of the Jordan River. He struck the water with Elijah's cloak and cried out, where is the Lord, the God of Elijah? Then the river divided and Elisha went across. When the group of prophets from Jericho saw from a distance what had happened, they exclaimed, Elisha, the spirit rest upon Elijah. Backward. Elijah's spirit rested upon Elisha. There's his mantle, because he wanted to walk with him. He wouldn't let Elijah go to see the Lord because he knew it was his last days and he wanted that mantle. It was an adventure. Yes. And he chose that adventure and he went. I know we all have adventures in our lives, and some of them we don't like. We don't like those adventures because, one, they're not happy, they're not fun, and they're painful sometimes. It's like the painful job that Jody had to do this morning with Joshua. Sit him down and have a conversation, because Joshua is Joshua, and he wants it his way now, because he's a kid, and that's what happens. But Jody's teaching him that he's not always going to get it his way. And God teaches us that all the time. We're not always going to get it our way. One, because it could hurt us. Two, because he's got bigger and better for us. Amen. And three, he's teaching us to walk with him on that adventure. Amen. In Acts 16, 6 through 8 is where Paul and Silas are traveling and they want to go to Persia because they want to preach the gospel in the country of Asia. But guess what? God tells them, no. No, you can't go there. Not yet. Not time. It's not open. Nobody's going to hear you. Makes me think about Jesus when he went to his own town in Nazareth. Nobody listened. Only a few listened, because why? He was just a plain carpenter's son. And they only saw him. They didn't see God's glory on him. Sometimes the Lord will step in and say no to us, even the most loving and caring, careful consideration of our plans. There are many ways, of course, that God can stop or redirect us. Sometimes it's through a warning of a respected friend. Sometimes it might be through the lack of peace in our lives. All of the circumstances might look just fine, but something inside us doesn't feel right, and we have a lack of peace about it. I was offered a job this last little while, and I just hadn't said yes. I just didn't want to jump into it and say yes. I don't think I had a peaceful feeling about it. I didn't have a not peaceful feeling, but I just didn't know. So I was like, okay. And nobody had asked more about it, so I was just like, okay, we'll just wait and see what happens. My boss came to me this last week, and this job that I've been doing as other duties is assigned for 4 years. She said, I went to my big boss and said, other duties assigned for 1 year is fine, but other duties as assigned for 4 years is taking advantage of you. So I'm praying that God's in the middle of all of this, and I'll get more money just because of the job I'm doing. But I didn't move into the other position, because God has bigger and better. Still waiting for an answer. I'm just waiting, because I'm waiting for God to be in the middle of it. We were told in the book of Colossians that we should let the peace of God settle with the finality of all matters that arise in our minds. If we look at Colossians 3:15, and let the peace that comes from Christ rule in your heart. So as members of one body, you are called to live in peace and always be thankful. Are we always thankful?
No.
We're trying, though.
Yes.
If we start to do something or go somewhere and a lack of God's blessing on the plan, we need to learn to stop and seek his peace and his desire for our lives. Let me read that again. If we are starting to do something or go somewhere and sense a lack of God's blessing on the plan, we need to learn to stop and seek his peace and his desire for our lives. God can also redirect us from simple circumstances. A car won't start. A particular door won't open. When I read that, a car won't start, I was listening to Caleb one day, and they were talking about the story of the day, and some lady said her car just died at a stoplight. She's like, oh my heck, I can't start it. Oh my heck. And then here come a truck, a big, huge truck, driving through the intersection. She turned the key again, and the car started. God saved her that day. God has plans for our lives, but do we listen to those plans? When he says no, do we take no as a blessing or a curse? Sometimes things turn out differently than what we had imagined or planned. Ultimately, however, our lives belong to him, not ourselves. And his plans, even when they seem difficult, are the best plans for this life and the next. My plan when I was young was to get married and have kids in the LDS temple, because that's what I was taught. It was the only thing I knew. I dated a guy 7 years younger than me because I was going to be good. He walked in the room, I didn't have that spark. I didn't know if I could wake up to him every morning for eternity. Every time Karina walked in the room, I was like, woo! She waited for a long time for me to figure out who I was. I didn't know who I was. Even after coming to this church, I still didn't know who I was. It took me a long time to figure out I was okay with me. And that I could have a relationship with God, even though I was different. I don't have to be gay or straight. I can just be different, because we all are different. Even in our relationships with each other, we're different. We don't have to label ourselves. We're human. Yay. And God loves each and every one of us right where we sit. And even when we open our mouths and do this, and then ask for forgiveness, because you know we do, he loves us. He wants the best for us. And his no is not always because he doesn't want us to give us what we want. He always wants to give us what we want. But is it the best for us? As it says here, when he says no, it's because our lives belong to him, not ourselves. And his plans, even though they may seem difficult, and sometimes are, they are the best plans for this life. 2 Corinthians 1:20 says, "For all of God's promises have been fulfilled in Christ with a resounding yes, and through Christ our amen," which means yes, ascending to God for his glory. There was another story on the internet that I really liked, so I'm going to share it with you. A mother was riding around with her son. They were running errands. She says, "My 5-year-old son was in his spot in the back seat, chatting away, mostly asking me for stuff. Mommy, can I have? Mommy, can you take me? Mommy, can we go to?" You know, the place somewhere between your kids being so adorably cute and totally driving you bananas. Yep, I was there. Every answer to his question, of course, was no. I was on autopilot. No, no, no. Then the son of mine said, "Mommy, I wish that every time you said no, you really meant yes. That would be more funner." "You mean that I would always mean the opposite of what I actually said?" "Yes, just like that. Come on, Mommy, let's practice." I agreed to this rehearsal request. I mean, why not? All I have to do is keep giving the same response I'd given for the last 15 minutes. "Mommy, can we go out to lunch?" "No." My son raised his fist in victory in the air and said, "All right." "Mommy, can you take me to the store?" "No." He broke out in applause. "Mommy, can we go to the park to play?" "No." The cute boy waved his hands in the air while saying, "Yay!" And then it dawned on me. My son was on to something. He was choosing to believe my no was actually a yes, and that changed his attitude. It changed his response, it changed his reaction, and it made me wonder, what if we responded to God in this way? What if we believed that even when he said no, it was because he was really saying yes, because he is? When we have a good father in God who, just like our good earthly father, desires to give his kids what is best for them even later, even if he says no to something they want right now. The question is, do we really believe that he is good? If we did, wouldn't that be cause to celebrate? Whether he says no or yes, it's hard when prayer requests go unanswered or desires go unmet. I can easily feel deflated and frustrated with God. Hope turns to hopelessness, confident expectations become disappointments, and faith turns to a despondent despair. But what if we really believed that God was good? What if we believed that he was always saying yes to what we are asking him for right at that moment, but yet saying yes to his best? What if we trust his heart, even when his hands seemingly withhold the very thing we desire? What if we choose to celebrate all of our previous yeses he's given us despite his current no? I think it would change how we respond. I think we would find joy, keep hoping and smiling despite what we see. I know how badly you want your yes, but hang in there. Keep hoping, keep praying, keep believing. And if God says no, choose to give thanks. I have been walking with God long enough to know that many times God has said no because he has a greater yes in store for me. I've been walking with God long enough to know that even if I don't like his answer, I can respond to him with expectations, joy, and hope. I have been walking with God long enough to know his good, and although he doesn't always give me what I want, he always gives me what he knows I need. In some way, shape, or form, he's always saying yes. Father God, today I choose joy because I believe you are always saying yes. Sure, there are places of disappointment in my life, and there are things that I would like to be different, but I choose to give thanks. Starting today, I choose to respond to you as if you're always good, a father who has my best in mind because you are good. There's a scripture, Matthew 7, 9 through 11, which isn't on there. Or what man is there among you who, when his son asks for a loaf, would give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, would give him a snake? Will he? If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father who is in heaven give what is good to those who ask him? If you're going to ask God for a fish, he's not going to give you a stone. If you're going to ask him for a loaf of bread, he's not going to give you not a loaf of bread. He might find something bigger and better. He might give you a lesson because he wants us to trust him first. Amen. Psalms 105 says, "For the Lord is good and his love endures forever. His faithfulness continues through all generations." Amen. God says no. Why does God say no? One, to protect us. Two, because we're not ready for the yes. Three, because he loves us and has bigger and better for us. Four, he wants us on an adventure. He wants to show us the way. Paul was a great example. He was ready to go all the time. And he went. Are we ready to go? I think so some days, and other days I'm like, oh. Reading this, listening to this book last week and them not having anything and having to rely on each other was an amazing, eye-opening experience for us. Because what happens if everything goes down? What would we do? We'd have to grow gardens. We'd have to take care of each other. We'd have to. And the guy in this book opened up his scriptures and they've been hoarding food because what if we don't have enough? God showed him that you need to share with each other. We need to share our lives with each other because God wants that. If we're hiding in our homes because we're afraid to be out in the world, then we're not getting what God wants us to get. He loves each of us. He wants each of us to be ready for what he has for us. But are we? Are we ready? Are we ready to walk out and go, where do you want me to go today, Lord? Have you done that? Where do you want me to go today, Lord? And if you do, be ready for an adventure because he's going to give you one.
Amen.
And why wouldn't we want an adventure? Because we're too busy? That's my favorite. Too busy. I go to work this many days a week. I do come to praise team practice this day. I do this on Sunday. I'm busy every day of the week. And then I go home and I just want to sit in front of the TV. But that's not right either because then I'm lazy. And then I feel lazy. And then I feel bad because I haven't been doing the things I need to do. God gives us all the strength that we need. God gives us everything that we want and can imagine if we imagine it. It's not easy to step out in faith. It's not easy to trust people around us because how many times have we been hurt? Way too many. How many times have we relied on somebody and then they failed us the next time? But who are we really relying on? We're not relying on God. We're going to ask that person because we'll know that they'll take care of it. But what about the person over there? Can you ask that person over there to do it? Oh, I don't know them very well. Or probably not. Because somebody's already told me that they haven't done something for them. Well, guess what? Ask them anyway. We need to use each other. Not use, but use. Because we need each other.
Amen.
We're the body of Christ. You can't have the head and not the rest of the body. You can't have, you can have hands, and if you're missing the fingers, then what happens? You use the palms, but you're still missing something. You're not as stable. We all have spiritual gifts. We learned about them at Synergy, and if you don't know, Pastor has some that you can get one and take it. So we know what your gifts are. So we can use the whole body of Christ instead of just the hands and the feet and part of the head and the head without the eyes. God's not saying no because he wants you not to prosper and grow and love people. He says no because he, like I said, he protects us above and beyond all. And he wants us to trust him first. Can we trust him? Absolutely. Can you see him?
Yes.
Some people can, some people can't. We don't know that, we know that Jesus has existed because we've read it in the scriptures. Did we see Jesus on the earth? There's been a few people that have seen him, but not everybody. It's great. God loves each of us. He wants us to be happy. He wants us to live together in unity. He wants us to be part of this church. And he wants more people in this house.
Yes.
Turn God's yes into what's best for him first, and he'll bless each of you.
Yes.
Will you pray with me? Father God, as we come before you today, we're thankful for the opportunity that we have to be here. We're thankful that you said no to certain things to protect us. We're thankful, Lord, for the relationships that you're growing each and every day. We're thankful, Lord, that we can come to you and talk to you about everything and anything. And thank you, Lord, that we shut up and listen to the answers and not just talk. Thank you, Lord, that you quiet our voices and you quiet our hearts and you give us the peace that we need for all of the challenges that come in life. We're thankful, Lord, for the family that you brought together. We're thankful, Lord, for the new people that are going to come in. We're thankful for the things that you're doing in our lives. And we're thankful that when you say no, we trust that there's bigger and better ahead. We're thankful for the ventures that you have us on, and we're thankful the ventures that are coming ahead of us. We're thankful that we just can say yes and amen and know that you're going to take care of all of it. And Lord, if we're not in that spot yet, thank you that you will continue to guide and direct us to get that point. Because we know that, Lord, we're all on different walks. We're all on have different faiths. But Lord, we're thankful that you have brought us together and that you love us right where we're at. And that you've taught me this week that no isn't always the end. It's just the beginning of what the best plan that you have for my life and everyone in here. Lord, help us to get something out of this message. Help each person in here understand what you want them to understand and help them to grow in that. Thank you for always being here. Thank you for always pushing us along the way to teach us and to help us. Thank you for the Holy Spirit that's always inside of us, that's guiding and directing us. Thank you for not ever leaving us alone and sending the Holy Spirit to be with us. Thank you, Lord, for the growth that you're teaching us. Thank you that the answer is no or not no. Thank you, Lord, for the yes and amen that's coming. Thank you for the testimonies that will come out of this message today, because you've taught. Thank you for being the mouthpiece here. Thank you that I am nothing without you. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.